I'm Sipa Norman of the Transatlantic Institute. In the last of our four sessions, we discussed the future of Labour Party foreign policy. Alan Johnson, editor of Democratia, set out his views on what the main features of this foreign policy should entail.
The idea, idealism is the new realism. As Michael Walzer puts it, justice is the key to victory. I think in that regard, a social democratic policy should adopt the notion of the responsibility to protect as something like a categorical imperative. As it's set out in the Commission report that David was referring to, it's an umbrella concept, much more capacious than people think. It refers to the responsibility to prevent, the responsibility to react, and the responsibility to rebuild. And it's really a far cry from some of the narrow militarist responses to catastrophe that we're disagreeing about. I think it should be adopted not just in regard to acute international humanitarian catastrophes, but to the chronic conditions of global poverty and environmental decay. I think the notion of the responsibility to protect could form the heart of a new agenda for 21st century global social democracy.
Alan Johnson believes the defeat of international totalitarianism must be addressed by the international community.
The coordinated interventions of the late 90s and the partnership, strained but real at its heart, of America and Europe must be restored. And I think social democrats are going to have to do that in the face of a tendency to unilateralism in the US, set out in the 2002 National Security Strategy, which I think was a disaster, with its talk of US hegemony and its talk of preventive war, but also against European tendencies to anti-Americanism, which Oliver was referring to, and the talk of Europe as a counterpower to the US.
As in previous discussions, there was a call for what was termed urgent reform of international institutions and an acknowledgement that an international community will require a military force. And there was a call for Democrats to remain true to their own constitutional identity. Alan Johnson.
As Democrats, as we fight, we must have faith in that identity, respect the rule of law, the Geneva Convention, fair trials, oppose torture, extraordinary rendition, and so on and so on. Why? Firstly, it's morally right, but secondly, it's how we're going to win. Again, here, idealism is realism.
Alan Johnson sees this as a global battle of ideas with totalitarian political Islam.
I do think there's an intellectual appeasement that's going on. I do think there's a betrayal of progressives and Democrats in Muslim countries and Muslim communities. I do see the problem differently, I think, than other people. A YouGov poll taken after 7/7 found that 6% of British Muslims thought the attacks were, quote, fully justified, unquote. That translates to 100,000 British Muslims. Now, even if we relate to that statistic skeptically, as I think we should, there's plainly a crisis that cannot be tackled by policing alone. I may not have a cent in the room for this, but I think the 7/7 terrorists emerged from a stultifying traditionalist world that, unless it's reformed, threatens us all.
And there was a strong call for solidarity with Democrats in the Muslim world, who are often sidelined. In a bang-up finish to his opening remarks, Alan Johnson called a spade a spade.
I think it would be very healthy if we were able to say Michael Moore is an idiot. Let's just stop projecting these cartoonic-ish figures as if they're profound. Michael Moore is an idiot who writes in his books, there is no threat, repeat after me, and then bold capitals, there is no threat. We need to break from that. I think we need to stop being merely negative, critical of Bush, stop writing ridiculous placards, Bush is the real terrorist, and so on. I think we need to unfold our arms and make practical solidarity now with Egyptian bloggers, Iranian students, Iraqi trade unionists.
David Clark, former advisor to Robin Cook, believes there are limitations to the so-called special relationship.
What progressives in Britain ought to be thinking first and foremost of is formulating a common position which Europe can then negotiate with Washington on the basis of. That's far, it's for me the only game in town for pursuing the kind of progressive outcomes that we want to see globally.
But what might we expect of Gordon Brown, tipped by most to be the next Prime Minister? Oliver Cam, Times columnist and author of Anti-Totalitarianism, The Left-Wing Case for a Neoconservative Foreign Policy.
The Atlanticist instincts of Gordon Brown are really quite apparent. He is very much devoted to the US liberal tradition. He holidays in Cape Cod. His friends are on the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. His economic discussions take place in the United States. He's clearly a great friend of Alan Greenspan. And all his instincts are to a traditional Atlanticist tilt in foreign policy, with which I'm again, largely in sympathy. On the question of what ought to happen, well, I've already said I'm largely in sympathy with him. This is where I disagree to a certain extent with David. The more I hear about David's proposals for rebalancing international relations with a greater role for Europe, the more wary I become. We haven't discussed, and heaven knows we're not going to discuss it in 5 or 10 minutes, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, on which I'm certain David and I would agree on ends of a secure Israel and an independent Palestinian state. But I do promise you, David, I promise you that the reason that outcome has not occurred up till now is not that there are too few European governments meddling in the process. And I would be rather wary of extending a role for the European Union in that conflict.
Gordon Brown has not yet revealed his hand, but what does seem certain is that he is likely to remain close to this and any future U.S. administration.